Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You are listening to You Look Hungry on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio broadcasting to you from Hanson Snowbliss in New Orleans. I'm joined today by Ashley Hanson, the heiress of the legendary Hansons. Ashley, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, for listeners out there who have no idea, what is a snowball?
Well, a snowball is a cup of finely shaved ice with beautiful syrup poured on top.
So, essentially, it's a snow cone, but
it's
different.
Well, it's a sort of like a snow cone, but it's better. You know, I remind people all the time in our stand that they ask for a snow cone, and I say, oh, we only have snowballs. because it is such a texture difference. Here it's like a fluffy gelato. It's very different than the crunchy ice that you'll get at like a carnival fair or something like that.
So your grandparents, Ernest and Mary, started Hanson's, and tell me about how they started it and sort of how it all came to be.
Well, my uncle was a child at the time, and my grandfather was a machinist. And my uncle Ernie wanted a snowball. And at the time in New Orleans, in the early 30s, all there was these push carts. And there would be a block of ice sitting on top with a man with a planer. And this is a tool that you would use to like shave your kitchen door or, you know, something down, like a piece of wood down. And the man would pass the shaver along the shaved ice and without gloves or anything, and it was a filthy product. And so my grandfather took one look at that and said, no way, I think I can build something better. So that was the beginning of his idea of coming up with his own ice shaver or snowball machine. And in 1934, he built his first machine. This was a prototype, a smaller model. Where is it? Here it is. The inside is made of wood, and it's a smaller model than the one we use today. The one we use today was built in 1939. Once they saw that this prototype would work and work fairly well, he set about to make a bigger model, more substantial, with all cast pieces, because he was a machinist, so all the parts were made of cast aluminum and stainless steel. So in 1939, my grandmother started her business consecutively. So I guess I should explain. With the prototype, she would put ice in it and sell snowballs off her front porch. And she would stop every other year to have a baby. And so after my dad was born in 1939, and after my grandfather made the bigger model machine, she set to work consecutively year after year selling snowballs. She would make her flavors in the morning and make only enough for the day and then start over the next day. This was the height of the Depression, and so she would have to trade her meat stamps for sugar stamps to keep the business going. They were Italian, My grandmother was Italian. Her main name was Gemelli. And so they always had chicken coops in the backyard. And they never wanted for meat. So for her, this was not a big deal to swap out her her meat stamps for for sugar. And also in the great state of Louisiana, we have wonderful fishing and hunting. So they always had fish at their fingertips or shrimp or something.
So, you know, Hansen's is sort of as New Orleans as red beans and rice, Yaquamine. I mean, it's a quintessential thing, especially when I think about summer here. It's Hansen's. That's where you go. Tell people, you know, what the season is like when it starts, and also tell me about day one of opening each year. What is it like?
Well, the season really gets cranking in March. We open up mid-March, early March sometimes, depending on the weather. And, you know, sometimes we'll get an unfamiliar cool snap. And so you see people walking in with their fleeces and turtlenecks, and they just can't wait for their first snowball of the summer. And so that's gets the ball rolling. And then by this point, by July and the heat of August really comes on, we're rolling pretty well at that point. Towards the fall in New Orleans, we see a decline in our business because people are much, much ready for pumpkin pie or Halloween candy, and snowballs take a back seat at that point. Even though it could possibly be 100 degrees outside, people are ready to move on to fall flavors. So we downsize our business at that point.
So what do you love the most about the first day when you open?
Well, I love that it's mostly word of mouth. And so it's funny how fast word travels. And even now with the internet, it's funny how fast people start piling up in here because word of mouth gets around so fast in this city. And that's what I love. I love that most of all. And I get to see my favorite customers and, you know, longtime friends. And it's, I love it. I love it. I love the first day. It's like coming home.
So there's, you know, for listeners who have not visited Hansen's, there is a yellow line on the floor. And talk a little bit about the etiquette of coming into Hansen's. What are the do's and the don'ts?
Okay, well, there's like many rules in Hansen's Snowblist, and there used to be more, but throughout the years, I would paint over one sign at a time so my grandparents wouldn't notice. But, you know, if you walked in, there was all these no's, like no pets, no shoes, no shirts, blah, blah, you know, no smoking, no, and so every now and then I would just paint over a sign. But we still have our rules even today. So the gist of it is you have to follow the yellow line to the counter. And before getting to the counter, you should know what size cup you want, what flavor you want, and if you want a topping. we do allow multiple flavors, but we suggest no more than three. And you can go nuts with all the toppings you want.
I feel like the one thing as a customer is never touch the bottles.
Oh, yes. That is a rule, right? Yeah. You never touch the bottles because the bottles we use are old. Some of the bottles we use are original. And they're old. Some are old glass liquor bottles. And some are just old bottles that are confectionery syrups but they have my grandparents' writing on them, and so I value them, and I value using them every day. My friends and coworkers say, "Oh, Ashley, you know, you should really put them up somewhere so we don't break them." But using the things that they touched every day and that I use every day is special to me. You know, it's like the patina on the old snowball machine. I just really value things that age gracefully and that are still in use after 75 years.
So you know, you make homemade syrups every single day. Let's talk about some of the magical syrups that you make. We were talking before the show about, you know, cream of nectar. Describe what cream of nectar is.
Cream of nectar is an old New Orleans flavor. It used to be served at every soda fountain in the city, but soda fountains dwindled, and it became mostly at that point a snowball flavor. And cream of nectar is a fluffy, fluffy vanilla almondy flavor that is almost like eating a pink cloud.
It's a great way of putting it. It is the most elusive flavor I've ever eaten.
Because
but
it's
so
its own
good.
Flavor.
Yeah.
You know, people try to say, oh, well, it's like bubblegum, or it's like almond, and it's really not. It's a flavor all to itself that has been around for over 100 years here in the city.
What are some of the other syrups that you make that you love to make?
Strawberry for the kids and chocolate for the mothers. And so we sell a lot of, even today, we sell a lot of chocolate and strawberry. Those we sell more than, more than any other flavor, as well as nectar. Nectar we sell a lot of as well. So probably forgetting the question now. but today we make other magical flavors. Like, we try to make some that are all natural and homemade, and all our syrups are made here. So we do some all-natural flavors that I just love. I love it. I'm sort of hooked on these, and I sometimes mix them with the old-fashioned flavors of my grandmother. And some of these are like cardamom and vanilla bean. We do a ginger cayenne, and oh, a satsuma that is to die for.
Wow.
A satsuma is a small tart orange, and we use the zest, and it is so yummy. And the hotter it gets, the more people want it. So we make a lot of satsuma. We have a honey lavender. And then the night before last, I stewed down some blueberries because they're in season. And I was able to get them inexpensively.
Wow.
And I stewed them down with maple syrup. And that is a flavor. I think we may have it today. And it is awesome.
Wow. That sounds so amazing.
So we do a lot of interesting things and a lot of creations. And, you know, some people are more adventurous than others when it comes to the flavors.
Recently I've been reading and hearing a lot about how people are making adult snowballs around town with some booze.
Right, yes.
Have you ever tried
one?
Well,
it is New Orleans. Yeah. You spike everything there. Have I tried it? Of course I've tried it.
That's like the after work snowball for
correct,
you.
Correct, right. That's the PM snowball. There are certain liquors that pair really well with snowballs, and rum goes well with any flavor.
Noted. Note to self. Okay.
But that's definitely bring your own bottle, bring your own flask.
Well, we're going to take a very quick break, but when we get back, lots more from Ashley Hansen. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
This special program is brought to you by TechServe, New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, serving creative professionals at all levels, from individual customers to Fortune 100 companies. TechServe has built a solid reputation in their expertise in technology, sales, and service. Visit them on the web at techserve.com or in New York City at 119 West 23rd Street. Learn more about their in-store classes and incredible insider program. Make stuff happen. TechServe.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on the Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm broadcasting to you from Hanson's Snow Blizz in New Orleans. I'm talking with Ashley Hanson, the wizardress, is that a word, behind Hanson's. And before the break, we were discussing all kinds of things, but, you know, I would love to know if there was any New Orleans figure, dead or alive, fictional or real, who you could make a snowball for and sit down and eat with them. Who would it be? What would you make? And why? It's a tough question. I think that, yeah, I don't know who mine would be. Probably Ignatius from Confederacy of Dunces, but I don't know what flavor I would make him.
Maybe like orangeade.
Yeah.
Or chocolate. Because he was at the candy counter.
Yeah. Totally.
You have to give me a minute on that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about, we'll get back to that, but talk about some of the things like the garbage pail, or is it the junior atomic? Like, what are those and what goes on there?
Okay, so we do specialty snowballs that were my grandfather's creation. My grandmother was really the businesswoman, but Ernest was more of the creator. And so he started with all the toppings and putting ice cream in the middle of a snowball. That's called a hot rod. And then we have a sundae that has a little fruit on the top, and then like pineapple. And then we have a duper. And so you can get the duper in two different sizes, a baby duper or a super duper. And that has crushed pineapple or crushed strawberries that we make in-house from fresh fruit. And also it has marshmallow and a cherry on top. And then we have the atomic, which you can get in two different sizes as well, a junior atomic and a senior atomic. And the junior, well, the junior is just a lesser form of the senior, but the senior atomic has the, you know, shaved ice, the cream, more cream poured on top, the crushed pineapple or crushed strawberries, and then it has the marshmallow. And then it has a scoop of ice cream and then a cherry on top of that. And it's a big sugar bomb. It is a sugar explosion. Quite honestly, I can only get through the top of it before I'm like, you know, going into my sugar coma or a silliness state that equals a sugar coma. I've yet to be able to finish one in my small stature. But people do get them all the time. And then we have buckets of snowballs. We have like half gallons, we have gallons, we have 3 gallon buckets, we have 4 gallon buckets, we have 8 gallon buckets, and we do have trash can bucket size snowballs. And people do use those for parties, for like, you know, crawfish boils in the spring, barbecues outside in the summer, and then, you know, graduation parties, Mother's Day, weddings, where the groom's cake for weddings a lot. And then, you know, sororities, fraternities will buy buckets and spike them. Again, it is New Orleans.
I'm mesmerized there is an actual trash can size that you do. You know, that takes a lot of ice.
It takes a lot of ice, and probably more so than a gallon of syrup. And it's heavy, and it's cold. And the bottom of it, the bottom of the ice is the consistency of the same on top. So it's all that fluffy, fluffy snow all the way through. And my grandmother used to bring them to our birthday parties when I was a kid. We didn't necessarily have birthday cakes all the time. We always had a bucket of snowballs. Mm-hmm. Our birthday was in August, and I have a twin sister. And so all of our friends remember our birthday because they looked forward to having the, you know, the super trash can size full of you know, snowy confections every year.
What is the deal? I mean, it's mesmerizing to watch you pour the syrups because you're like, oh my God, this is the most delicious thing. But how do you know how to measure it? Are you counting? Is it
No, I think it's just from experience and watching my grandmother. I mean, I've done this, you know, more than half my life now. So, yeah, at age 40, you kind of know what you're doing.
Muscle memory, so
right,
to speak.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. You so, where do y'all get your ice from?
Well, historically, we would go pick it up from the ice house. And, you know, even in a port city like New Orleans, a fishing town, there's like two ice houses left. And so we'd go pick up the ice, bring it in through the bag, cut it up with an ice pick, because it comes in 300-pound blocks. So you cut it down to the size of the machine and put it all away in the freezers. Well, I would do this, you know, we would do it every Saturday. And you'd have to get up early because you wanted to beat the shrimpers for the good ice. And it was an all-day affair for my grandparents. And as they got older, it became harder. So, around 1996, 1997 is when I seriously started helping my grandparents. And at that point I said, we're not going to pick up our ice anymore, because I'd have to pick them up, you know, like one slip and they're goners. And so it just became really hard to manage them as they got older and manage the ice situation. So I said, we're going to have it delivered. And boy, oh boy, was it a battle with my grandfather, because they were so stuck in their ways. But I found Mr. Duplanchet. Mike Duplanchet is ice man, and his dad was an ice man before him, and his sons help him with the business. And so I felt like it was a good match. And he would come bring in the ice and cut it with an electric chainsaw and put it all away for us in 45 minutes or less.
Wow.
And so he would layer each ice in our big chest freezers with plastic bags. And so my grandfather, upon seeing this, said, oh, I never thought of that. And at that point, it was okay. It was okay that I had the ice delivered, because he felt like you can teach an old dog new tricks. Because we would sit there with our crowbars, you know, literally prying the ice from each other, because it would stick and freeze to each other. And so at that point, I think my grandfather allowed me to make more of the bigger decisions, within his reach.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
So in the off season, what are you up to?
Well, I'm a mom. I have two beautiful children, Avery and Gordy, and they're 3.5 and 19 months. And I take care of them, and I get to be mom, but in the back of my head, I'm still brainstorming of like what new flavors we're going to have this year, and try several out, and also what else are we going to do this summer, in the next summer with a stand. And my mind is never too far from the business. In fact, I live right next door, so I'm always here.
So on the horizon, are there any new flavors you're willing to reveal or that you're excited about trying?
Well, I guess the newest flavors that we've had this year are the blueberry that is just, you know, cooked down blueberry and then pressed through a sieve. Awesome. And then our honey lavender. I've been on a big purple, you know, steel, and the honey lavender is all natural and it's gorgeous and it's awesome with lemonade or vanilla bean. And it's awesome with condensed milk poured on top. And the blueberry is great with like satsuma or lemonade or ginger. And I'm trying to think of other flavors that we've been doing. You know, every Friday we do a different, we do a special flavor to test it out. And so we've had some really good luck with that. We've done an all natural hazelnut that's been good. A mango and a pear that everyone goes wild for. And I know I have a good flavor when people come in weeks after, you know, asking for it, you know, so.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show.
Thank you.
And as always, thanks so much to Joe Galarraga, Jack Inslee, and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio Network. I'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.